Translation. While performing duties according to the orders of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names and his qualities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. An expert devotee of the Lord can mold his life in such a way that while performing all kinds of duties, either in for this or next life, he can constantly remember the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. The order of the Lord is distinctly there in Bhagavad Gita. One should work only for the Lord in all spheres of life. In every sphere of life, the Lord should be situated as the proprietor. According to the Vedic rites, even in the worship of some demigods like Indra, Brahma, Sarasvati, and Ganesh, the system is that in all circumstances, the representation of Vishnu must be there as Yageshvara, or the controlling power of such sacrifices. It is recommended that a particular demigod be worshipped for a particular purpose, but still the presence of Vishnu is compulsory in order to make the function proper. Apart from such Vedic duties, even in our ordinary dealings, for example in our household affairs or in business or profession, we must consider that the results of all activities must be given over to the supreme enjoyer, Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has declared himself to be the supreme proprietor of everything, the supreme proprietor of every planet, and the supreme friend of all beings. No one else but Sri Krishna can claim to be the proprietor of everything within his creation. The pure devotee remembers this constantly, and in doing so, he repeats the transcendental name, fame, and qualities of the Lord, which means he is constantly in touch with the Lord. The Lord is identical with his name, fame, etc., and therefore to be associated with his name, fame, etc., constantly means actually to associate with the Lord. The major portion of our monetary income, not less than 50%, must be spent to carry out the order of Lord Krishna. Not only should we give the profit of our earnings to this cause, but we must also arrange to preach this cult of devotion to others, because that is also one of the orders of the Lord. The Lord definitely says that no one is more dear to him than one who always engages in preaching work of the Lord's name and fame all over the world. The scientific discoveries of the material world can also be equally engaged in the order of the Lord. He wants the message of Bhagavad Gita to be preached among his devotees. It may not be so done among those who have no credit, austerities, charity, education, etc. Therefore, the attempt must go on to convert unwilling men to become his devotees. Lord Chaitanya has taught a very simple method in this connection. He has taught the lesson for preaching the transcendental message through singing, dancing, and refreshment. As such, 50% of our income may be spent for this purpose. In this fallen age of quarrel and dissension, if only the leading and wealthy persons of society agree to spend 50% of their income in the service of the Lord, as it is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is absolute certainty of converting this hell of pandemonium to the transcendental abode of the Lord. No one will disagree to partake in a function where good singing, dancing, and refreshment are administrated. Everyone will attend such functions, and everyone is sure to feel individually and transcendentally the presence of the Lord. This alone will help the attendant associate with the Lord, and thereby purify himself in spiritual realization. The only condition for successfully executing such spiritual activities is that they must be conducted under the guidance of a pure devotee who is completely free from all mundane desires, fruitive activities, and dry speculations about the nature of the Lord. No one has to discover the nature of the Lord. It is already spoken by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita, especially, and in all other Vedic literatures generally. We have simply to accept them in toto and abide by the orders of the Lord. That will guide us to the path of perfection. One can remain in his own position. No one has to change his position, especially in the age of variegated difficulties. The only condition is that we must give up the dry habit of speculating, aimed at becoming one with the Lord, and after giving up such lofty, puffed-up vanities, one may very submissively receive the orders of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam from the lips of a bona fide devotee whose qualifications is mentioned above. This will make everything successful without a doubt. Srila Prabhupada Gita. So, translation once again. While performing duties according to the orders of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, one constantly remembers his name and qualities. Om Agyanata Manda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshu Shumalitam Jena Tasmai Sigurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Shtabitam Jena Bhutale Swaram Rupagamayam Talandi Swavantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Abhilamitananda Sri Advaitagadadha Sivasili Gaula Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Namo Shivadaya Krishna Visaya Bhutale Shmati Shri Goka Vinda Swamati Namani Saraswati Devam Gauravani Vijayana Nivishesha Sunivadi Vastadis. Hare Krishna. So this is a very nice purport by His Divine Grace, who we can see from this purport, actually, he's a very expert devotee. Otherwise, how could he perform? How could he say such things in his purport? I'm going to wear two pairs of glasses, so don't. If I look a bit strange, don't worry. I just need to see you while I'm speaking. Is that okay, or is that too weird? Bifocals I should get. Yeah, my wife would be very angry when she saw me. She'd think she'd be very angry to see me like this. Anyway, I just like to see the devotee, that's all. Hare Krishna. Anyway, yes, Srila Prabhupada is so expert. Otherwise, how could he actually write of such a purport as this, which he indicates how Krishna consciousness could be spread? Now, what is the symptoms of an expert devotee? We have to analyze. How is it we can become expert in our devotional life and fully understand the all aspects of spirituality? Because currently we find ourselves perhaps in the material body. The material body drives us in very many ways. It always tries to deviate us. So we should understand that we are consciousness, we are pure consciousness. That is our original nature. We are pure consciousness. It's only when the consciousness comes in touch with matter and is driven under the modes of nature that causes us to think of other ways of acting, or our consciousness can go in other areas, such as the material senses. The mind, the senses, they are always trying to take us into the material realm. So the expert devotee, he is only got his consciousness fixed on the Supreme Reality, which is the Supreme Consciousness, who is Krishna. who is the cause of all causes, Ishvara Paramah Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Adi Adi Rovinda Sarva Kavana Kavanam. He is the supreme cause of all causes. He's the origin of consciousness. Here we are all sitting here in these material bodies with this consciousness. Where does this consciousness come from? No one knows. You ask leading scientists, they'll tell you they haven't got a clue where consciousness comes from. And yet we assume they do. Isn't it? You ask a leading scientist, they'll say, no, we don't really know. We think it's a combination of chemicals, but we're not actually positive. And we think consciousness comes from the brain. We say to them, okay, well, microbes and bacteria don't appear to have brains, yet they're moving and they're doing things very intelligently. How is this happening? Plants and creepers go up through into the wall and they grab hold. So if you look at a plant in a fast movie, you'll find it gripping very intelligently in so many different ways. How is this happening? So consciousness is a subtle energy. It passes through the brain. A human being requires a brain, and so does more sophisticated creatures, because they have to interact with the material world in so many different ways. Therefore, brain is required. If the computer energy source is finished, it no longer functions. Sometimes a computer breaks down, doesn't it? You know, software, right? It packs up, and therefore it doesn't. Even though you pass electricity through it, it still won't function properly. But brain we have, if I get in some accident or I have some disease or some problems, although consciousness is passing through this brain, still it won't function properly. This is like a computer. So this is our answer to the scientists, that consciousness passes through this body. So the perfection of consciousness is to actually find its origins. And the origins are with Krishna, God, who is, or divinity, whatever you like to say. He is supreme consciousness. He is conscious of everything. We are hardly conscious of not much at all, actually, when you really consider. What are we conscious of? Our own bodies, mind, so many different things, some social circle. We may be conscious of a few things here and there. But ultimately, Krishna is conscious of everything. Now, if you look into the gardens, go into the garden, into Bhaktivedanta Manor, how many spiders are out there? How many do you think? Millions of spiders, flies, bugs. These are all conscious beings acting in their own world, and Krishna is fully conscious of all their consciousness and their needs, and he's arranged. This is supreme consciousness. He is fully aware, and he's providing all the needs of all these living entities. So this is God. He is supremely conscious of all living beings. So now the expert devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and those that follow his line, and because Prabhupada is following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, all our line of acharyas going all the way back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they understand all this knowledge. They are not of this world. They are conscious of Krishna. And they are conscious of Krishna being the origin of all consciousness. Being Krishna conscious, Prabhupada says, means you have to be conscious of everything. You know, it's not just a sentiment. You have to be very intelligent. Therefore, Prabhupada said that the devotee is as thoughtful as the jnani is speculative. And the jnanis are very, very speculative. They're always speculating on this, that, and the other, isn't it? You met them on the street, particularly in this day and age. Our main difficulty is dealing with Darwinian thinking. Shankaracharya's teaching, but most of the population in the West, they are influenced by Darwinian thinking, and they're convinced. But if you look at, for instance, what a scientific theory is, a scientific theory is a, I'm going to try to remember this now, a scientific theory is a well substantiated explanation of some part of nature, which is repeatedly observed in experiments. Repeatedly observed in experiments. Such fact-based theory are not guesses, but are reliable accounts of the real world. So this scientific theory, which is well substantiated. Now, if you look at the theory of matter being the source of consciousness, there is no substantial evidence for that at all. And yet, most people will think, oh, there must be, because they don't look into it. So Prabhupada knew these things, and he came to defeat this type of thinking. And particularly the Bhaktivedanta Institute works in that field. So you think there's fossil records? No. There's no linear fossil records. There's no linear. If there was evolution was to take place, then we would see linear lines of fossils, one after the other after the other. Because they come up with they say, no, this is not the case because Earth is constantly shifting around, therefore we don't expect to see that. So some guy called Stephen something or other came up with his Bush theory. But actually, no. You won't see it exactly like linear. You'll find it more widespread. But Sariputta Prabhu points out how very difficult it is to follow an evolutionary line through a Bush theory. How do you know what your common ancestors are? How can you really trace that out? So there's no linear fossil records. The Bush theory of fossils is also very speculative. And another aspect they'll tell you is that DNA... You see, they'll say, oh, Darwin died 160 years ago. Why do you keep going on about Darwin? But neo-Darwinism is not much different than Darwin. It is Darwin plus DNA. And if you look at DNA, the real evidence, what does it mean? How does that substantiate the theory of Darwinism? It doesn't. And there's one scientist called Jonathan Wells. He did some study on this topic, and he found out that actually DNA causing mutations is a myth, because there is something called the myth of junk DNA. They thought that there was lots of junk DNA, and that was causing all these mutations. That was their thinking. Now they think, actually, no. We've now found out that most DNA has a purpose and fits in, and therefore there's not so much junk around. In fact, hardly any of it at all. Even Dawkins, is it Dawkins? Yeah. Dawkins, he, in his book, The Great God Delusion, he speaks about myth of junk DNA, but later he refuted that. Oh, yeah, okay. This is material knowledge. They speculate, and then later something else crops up. So not only is it a fact that the DNA or the mutations are not causing evolution in that sense. You can hear me? Oh, sorry. Not only is it a fact that DNA is not causing mutations, but there are other problems with the theory. That once Dawkins was asked by one person, can you give me an example of any mutation that increases information to the genome? And you go on YouTube, you'll find this clip, and he's just stumped by this question. Now, here's a guy that claims that he knows all about evolutionary theory, and he cannot answer that simple question. Later, he told them to shut the cameras off, and he went away and he wrote all this huge essay about the topic, and it still wasn't very clear. So there's no mutations that add information to the genome which would cause mutations. And what it does do, though, is to utilize existing information in the genome. It utilizes, see, the DNA, there's lots of information there, like a microchip, lots of it. And so naturally, why wouldn't there be? Because consciousness is constantly changing. And therefore, Krishna has to give a body according to consciousness, isn't it? We have free will. Wake up, Kurukshetra. Free will, we have free will. Therefore, with free will, there will be changes in our desires, right? So therefore, Krishna will constantly have to be, this material world, Krishna, is endlessly mutable. Endlessly mutable. So all is changing. So desires are always changing. Therefore, the genome and DNA has to have all these massive changes in it, you see, because Krishna has to constantly manipulate bodies. And because the truth is that life comes from life. Therefore, you will find that consciousness or matter follows consciousness. Matter follows consciousness. If you desire something, matter will form around you, and whatever action you perform in matter, your next body is already... This is the supreme engineering by Krishna. Anyway, Prabhupada knows all these things, and he knows the solution, how to get out of this situation, you see? So in order to become an expert devotee, to understand knowledge... Because Atatsi Krishna Namandi Nabhava Gayam India Seva Mukihi Jivadoi. We cannot work these things out through our senses. Our senses are very limited. We cannot work any of these things out. Even the greatest of our intelligent men, they cannot work out any of this stuff. But they hope to. And therefore, Einstein said, religion without science is blind. Science without religion is lame. Prabhupada said similar things. So Krishna consciousness is a science of self-realization. It includes everything, all knowledge. There's nothing missing in theological knowledge. It speaks about matter, time, energy, space, everything. There's nothing missing in it. It speaks about chemistry, biology. This is, if you speak to scientists on this field, they say, don't be silly. Theology is theology. Because they're only relating to the Bible. The Bible is very limited in its assessment of these truths. But the Vedas is full of knowledge of these matters. So although the Bible is a very wonderful scripture, actually, and there are many, many subjects discussed, but it doesn't elaborate. For instance, the world is created in 7 days. Well, what time period is that? Sometimes people think that evolution is a word only applied to Darwin. Well, actually, the word evolution means gradual. So that's what it really literally means. It's a gradual process. So the gradual process of creation, in the Bible it says that God created the world in 7 days. Now, I don't know how many days it took for Lord Krishna, when he lies in the Karandaksha ocean, as we see a picture here, he lies down in his mystic slumber, and the universes come from his skin pores, and then he enters into each of them skin pores as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and then he enters into every single atom as Shivadaksha. How long does that process take? Anyone know? Is it discussed? How long that process takes? I do not know. Maybe we can look into it. Srinivas Prabhu. Immediately. What is immediate? Immediately, yes. Immediately for Krishna is still a period of time. I don't know how much time. Huh? Yes, it's true. His one breath, as he exhales, all the universes and all the activities come about. And when he inhales, it all comes. So that's why I'm thinking the word gradual evolution is relative to, you know, the personality you're speaking about. Like a snail's gradual pace, or a cheetah's gradual pace, or a man's gradual pace, or Krishna's gradual pace is different. So the word evolution, they say evolution took billions of years. But we say to them, well, no, why do you think evolution belongs to you? It doesn't. It's a word. It means gradual. And so therefore, we'll take over that word evolution and we'll use it. And we say, yes, Krishna, in his form as Mahavishnu, gradually created the universes. And there's no harm in that. You agree? Why should Darwin have the word evolution? No, we don't accept. So actually, the fact is that if you actually analyze all their thinking, it's always, you know, like Shankaracharya used to twist word meanings all the time. He's famous for it. Well, they also twist words. They're very famous for twisting words. They twist the words micro and macro. They consider that microevolution. Microevolution is simply genes, DNA mixing, and minds and intelligence mixing. That's all. It's simple. Just like an artist, he has five primary colors. He mixes the colors up and it produces all kinds of colors, and unlimited probably. Or a musician, he takes A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and he mixes up unlimited melodies he can produce. So likewise, the micro mixing, we expect it, but it does not lead to macro. It doesn't lead to a cow turning into a whale, for instance, which some people speculate, or a microbe in a primordial soup turning into Einstein. It doesn't, there's no evidence, there's no transitions. So we accept, but they twist the meaning of these words. They say, no, this is micro, we can see macro. We say, no, it's not macro. This is not a new species. It is simply a variation of the existing creature. And this is also described in many, many places. And so if you Google species, you'll find, for instance, ladybirds. There's lots of different types of ladybirds. Some have different blobs on them, and so forth. Now, what you'll find is some people start to adjust and say, oh, ladybirds, we've got lots of different species of ladybirds now. We say, no, they're the same species. They just varied according to the environment and the natural changes that are occurring. So because they don't see macro, my point is, they don't see macro, so therefore they make it up by twisting the word micro. They don't see speciation taking place, therefore they twist the word species and start to assume things that are of the same species are now a different species. And there's many examples of this. And of course there's many very good scientists who are religiously minded, and they can help us in our arguments against them. So here we see Prabhupada being the expert devotee. Why is he so expert? There's a few verses to indicate what an expert devotee is and how his behavior is. He is tapasya brahmacharyana samena cha damena cha jagyena satya shushamam niyamena niyamena cha. He is so fixed up. He's so fixed up that his mind is only on Krishna. He does not let his mind wander anywhere other than Krishna. He is completely celibate in his mind and in his body. That if he wasn't, how could he become so expert? Because it means his mind would be entering into the material realm. He has strict control over his mind. He's very clean internally, very clean externally. This is, and also, he is niyamena mian niyamena cha. Also, he is not cursing anyone. He's not cursing. He's never angry or curses others. Therefore, he has great compassion. Because this cursing of others is all on the material plane. Sisi Radha Gokulanda, Sitavan Lakshman Hanuman, Sisi Goni Taiki Jai. This is all on the material plane, this cursing of others. I don't like you, and I like you. You're my friend. You're my enemy. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, there's one purport where Prabhupada said, we don't care whether people are unfavorable or favorable. The devotee doesn't make such conditions. He preaches to one and all. So if we are tapasya brahmacharya, how do we get there? By becoming tapasya brahmacharya. How do you become tapasya brahmacharya in a samina cha? How do you do this? By practice. And also a symptom of devotee is Tatikshva Kurunaka Surida Savadehina Majata Savata Sanda Sadeva Sarubhushna. His all his characteristics of sublime. He's perfect, perfect gentleman in every single respect. He is merciful. He is tolerant towards all living beings. So if we become Tatikshva Kurunaka Suridasa, he's friendly to everyone. If we become like that, then we can enter into real Krishna consciousness. So this purport here is indicating that Prabhupada is a very, very expert devotee, and he is always thinking of spreading Krishna consciousness. So it is also described in this purport how one should act in every sphere of life to please Krishna. This is described. There's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karosi Yat Asali Yak Jahasi Dadas. You know this verse? Yeah. Yat Tapasi Kuntaya Tat Kurosha Mat Aparam. I don't know that verse that well, but anyway. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer or give away, as well as austerities you perform, shall be done as an offering unto me. So this is practical. Krishna is giving some practicalities here. In the Vedas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, different sorts of knowledge is there. In the Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, and Pajaratna, yeah, or the Tantra, like Tantra, right? So it's described by Acharyas that the Shruti, you must do this, it's like God telling you, do this, do this, do this. It is very definite. And one of our Acharyas said the Smriti is like the older sister, do this, but slightly more mellow, slightly more kind, if you like, you know, not do this, do this. No, older sister comes, do this. This is like the Smriti. The Acharyas, they tell us, and they give us information how best to carry out these orders. And the Puranas are histories. If you do, here's examples of people who have done all these things. Just see the benefit of their lives. This is the Puranas. And the Tantras, if you act in certain ways, in very rigid, there'll be some benefit for you, like that. So Krishna, this verse here, all that you do, so whatever you do, do it for Krishna. All that you eat, offer all your food to Krishna. All you give away, if you're going to give away something, do it as an offering to Krishna. Any austerities you perform. So always home in on trying to please Krishna. This is what our acharyas teach us. So everyone has to work to maintain themselves. And Krishna has recommended work. But he also says, engage this work in my service. Any profit you get, any excess Lakshmi, Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, any excess Lakshmi, what do we mean by 50%? This is kind of something that we need to consider. I'd imagine that would mean after all your expenses are taken out, right? Hmm? What do you think? Oh, yeah. Energy. Right. Yeah. Total energy. So it doesn't have to be 50% of your money. Money, time, or life. But why go to give 50%? Why did the Swami say 50%? Why didn't he say 100%? Who was that Swami? Take a note of his name. Huh? Rupa Goswami gave 50%, but then he kept 25% for emergencies and 25% to his family, wasn't it?
Yeah, 25% for millions.
He kept millions. Yeah, he kept millions for emergency. Wow. You never know what's going to happen in this life. Sorry?
He did that at the end of his working life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. This is something we have to consider in a very balanced way. We should consider, yes, we're grihasthas. I don't make any money, ask my wife. But anyone who does make money, if they make excessive amounts of money, then probably they should save some money, 25 cents. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. But give as much as you can for Krishna. And Prabhupada's indicating give 50% if you can. Why not? For instance, if you make $1,000 a day, then you can give 50% of that, and you still got $500 left. So you've got plenty of money. So that's why Prabhupada says in the end of the purport, if the richest men were to give, isn't it? I mean, look at these guys, Rockefeller, and what do they do with their money? They give it to so many charities, they're giving here, they're giving there, so many places. That's why the International Society of Krishna Consciousness needs to develop good charity structures so we can go out and meet such people and convince them this is a very good cause. In fact, that's what the patrons of Bhaktivedanta, they're Shri Jupana and these devotees, they spend many years cultivating such people, and the result is a firm financial base here, which we can move on from. Of course, how they spend the money is debatable. because this day and age, for instance, high street shops, you know, high street shops, they're all empty. People want them to take over. So we could buy some high street shops and start a vegetarian restaurants, and then we could, as Prabhupada says here, we could chant, dance, and we could bring people in very nicely, and they would love it. And by our association, they would become purified. This is something for our managers. I'm not a manager, so you guys are managers. You have to decide how best to utilize funds that the temple or anyone else gives. It takes great intelligence to find out. And probably it's a good idea, as Prabhupada says here in this purport, that all these activities have to be done under the direction of the pure Vaishnava, under the guidance, who is completely free from all mundane desires, fruitive activities, and dry speculations about the nature of the Lord. So if such sacrifices and utilization of Lakshmi is done under their direction, everything will be very nice. So that's something the managers have to figure out. Are we spending correctly? Are we doing this under the direction of the... This is something for them to decide. But Rupa Goswami certainly set the example there. And also... another aspect of utilizing one's life is meditation. So many people these days, whatever you do, whatever you give away. So many people are into meditation these days. So if you're going to meditate, why not meditate on Krishna? Why not meditate on the holy name? This is described because Krishna... He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvasyam matkatin anta atmana shradavan bhajato yomam somi yuktatamo mata. Of all yogis, one who meditates on me is the highest of all. So if you're going to be a meditator, meditate on Krishna, become the greatest of all yogis. So these are recommendations given. And Krishna says, this is my opinion. Krishna's opinion Why not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He is the cause of all causes. He knows how this material world is set up. So we should follow Krishna's advice. And Krishna's opinion is final. Link in love with the Supreme Consciousness. Because the fragmented part of consciousness, he needs to utilize his free will and voluntarily give it to Krishna. That is his greatest interest. So he has this free will. So utilize this free will in the service of Krishna. We are not dead stones, so we can choose. But all the choices that we have, this is we were debating with the Kurukshetra and others, all the choices, probably rightly pointed out, comes from Krishna, because all his energy. For instance, if I have 55 lollipops and I give them to a child, I'm giving the choices, but do I know which one he's going to take? There is some unpredictability there, isn't it? Is it true? There's unpredictability. Do you know what lollipop? If I offered you Vishvambapa with 50 lollipops, how could I say it? No, but I might know you something. I might know you and think, actually, he'll probably take that one. But I don't know for sure, because you might be in a different mood one day. You might have had too much chocolate the day before. Although it's against GBC's, you know. Actually, it's not anymore, is it? So this unpredictability is there. We have to give our free will to Krishna. One who volunteers his free will and acts under superior direction is called yukta. Yukta atma means mind firmly set. So we simply fix our mind firmly set. This type of action liberates us from matter. So we have to become yukta atma. Our mind has to be firmly set on Krishna. And Prabhupada says in one purport, we must be very expert in ignoring the mind. Don't listen to the mind, be very expert. You have to learn how to ignore the mind. This is the key to Krishna consciousness. But we have to be in situations where we accept favorable things and reject unfavorable things. If we are in situations where our mind is agitated by certain, then intelligently eradicate that. And keep your mind fixed on Krishna consciousness. So the many examples are there in our scriptures. Yes, I was going to say that this free will actions directed toward Krishna, it is very individual. Very individual thing, and sometimes different desires to please Krishna are, you know, variegated, and sometimes your desire to please Krishna may not be my desire, but they are all harmonized in Krishna. Therefore, discord is harmonized in Krishna, and one acharya, he was giving class on this matter. For instance, at night, Mother Yashoda has a different idea of what Krishna should be doing than Srimati Radharani and her friends. Because Mother Yashoda, she wants Krishna tucked up in his bed because he's been out all day playing with his friends. And he always comes back late from the playing fields. And Mother Yashoda's always in anxiety, waiting for him. When's he going to come? And also the residents of Vrindavan, they're waiting for him to come back from the playing fields, some of the gopis who couldn't be with him. Sometimes they hear bamboo flutes, sometimes they hear wind blowing through the bamboo, and it appears like a flute, and they think, oh, Krishna's coming. The flute sound is there. Sometimes they see smoke, and they think, oh, this is the dust of Krishna, because he's herding the cows. Krishna's now coming. Like that. Sometimes they hear thunder in the sky and they think, oh, this is the sound of the... They're so intensely... They think this is the sound of the hooves of the calves coming. So Mother Yashoda is waiting. So she has one idea of how to please Krishna. Then when Krishna comes, he's got scratch marks all over him and he's saying, and then he chastises Krishna's friends. Why are you wrestling so hard with Krishna? You have to be careful. His body is very delicate. She doesn't know why Krishna has scratch marks on his body. She thinks one way. So there, so at night, Srimati Radharani and her friends, they have a different idea. So at night time, Krishna is, she thinks he's sleeping in his bed, but actually he's come out from his bed, he plays his flute. And when he plays his flute, that is like the a very wonderful sound which attracts all his devotees to come and enjoy with Krishna, and that flute sound enters into the heart of his devotees, the gopis, and they immediately drop everything and they go running after Krishna's flute sound. It's described by acharyas how they lose all sense of discrimination. They lose sobriety. Their soberness goes. And they go running. Because their heart has been stolen. So that is one type of devotee who is serving Krishna in one way. And Mother Yashoda, she wants... So this happens in spiritual life. But everything is harmonized because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And he's reciprocating with devotees in many, many different ways. This is described by our acharyas. So, it's coming up to a close. So I'll just finish off by saying that no one can cease acting, thinking, feeling, or willing. No one can stop this activity of the mind running. So you just have to keep the mind and fix it only on Krishna's service in every single way you can, following the footsteps of our acharyas who teach everything perfectly. Even the higher levels of Krishna consciousness and the all levels of Krishna consciousness are taught in a very systematic way how to take this mind out of matter and put it in Krishna's world. And you see, the thing is that in the Christian Bible it says God is made in the image of man, right? So this is a, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Sorry. Thank you. Man is made. Thank you. Good job you're here. So what was that again? Say again.
Man
is made in the image of God. Yeah. So everything in the spiritual world, this is a reflection. This is a reflection of the spiritual worlds. Everything you see here, you'll find in the spiritual world. You'll find plants, creepers, trees, relationships. You'll find everything. So everything you see here, it can remind you of the spiritual world. Everything. In fact, you must know this, because if you don't know this and you don't know what's going on in the spiritual world, your mind will go to this world. And instead of seeing this world as a place where to please Krishna, you'll try to become the enjoyer of this world, isn't it? You will try like that. Therefore, Rigviridam Vajavajubhya Tam Cha Vishnu Shwaram Vinto Nishnura Tavanid. You must understand the activities of Krishna's realm, his relationship with his friends, his relationships with his mother and father, aunts, uncles, the different types of friends he has, some very intimately serving, some at a distance, the animals, trees, birds, and Krishna's girlfriends, how Krishna is acting in Raja, how he's acting in Dwarka, how he's acting, all these things we must know. And then our mind will go to that realm. If we don't go to that realm, we don't, Nirupa Prabhupada says in this purport, one should be a very expert and ultimately at constantly remembering him, his names and qualities. If we don't, we will simply be remembering the qualities, names, and forms of this life. We'll remember Asda, Tesco's, or this, or that. Every single, that's what Prabhupada says, this is a world of names, right? That purport. This material world is a world of names. Not only names, but personalities. And we'll become absorbed in these personalities. So you cannot deny beauty. You cannot deny any of these things. One time Prabhupada said, the French ladies, they are the most beautiful ladies in the world, he said. He wasn't afraid to say such things. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, whatever you see beautiful ladies, you should understand, you should go to Krishna. He is the most attractive of youth. Go and place yourself. But of course, in the material world, the youthful ladies, it doesn't last long, isn't it? The youthful lady, all's coming. Youthful ladies, practically it looks like eternity, youthful ladies. But your youth will not last. You young ladies here, you're youthful. But soon you will be 40, 50, 60, 70. Well, you don't know that yet. You know it in your mind, but you're thinking, no, I will stay young forever. This is the nature of the material world. But actually, the fact is, you will grow old. Happened to me. I was once 30, 40. Now I'm 62 years old. Prabhupada was once giving a lecture, and he said, he was on the beach, actually. He was giving a morning walk. He said, I remember when I was a child, jumping over these waves, wasn't it? This is the fact, you know. So these changes are going on, but actually we do not require these changes. There's no such thing as death. I went to my father's funeral recently. I told all my family, there's no such thing as death. It's simply, you know, change of body. We have to be convinced of this matter. And we know, because consciousness has nothing to do with matter. It's a completely different energy. So Prabhupada has given all indications as to how we can become Krishna conscious, the process, and the main process of Krishna conscious, chant the holy name, chitto dapanam marjanam, purify ourselves of all these anathas. Anathas means unwanted things. Unwanted things mean our mind is going into the matter, thinking that, but these are old habits. Old habits die hard. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Maharaj says, you have two bodies. You have one material body, one spiritual body. At the same time, you have two bodies. One's developing, the other one's, isn't it? And there he gives the example of eating food. When you eat food, you gradually become nourished. You feel a sense of your hunger is finished. And this is going on. So with this material body, we have two bodies. We have our spiritual body developing and this material body which is running alongside. So we have to be in a situation where the material body is eradicated. That could only be done under the direction and hearing from the lips of a pure devotee. Now we could ask someone, I'd like to ask the question of someone, what do you mean by lips of? Sutta Prabhu. What does Prabhupada mean lips of? I have a theory on him. On that. Shall I say my theory first, or you want to go first? Lips of. What does lips of mean? Does it mean personal? Actually, we'll ask Vishwan Prabhu. He's a very well-read scholar. I'll go first. Okay. My understanding, it may be wrong or maybe not. My understanding is hearing from the lips of means you must be trained by sadhus. You must have personal association of sadhus. Hey, do this. He must look at your consciousness, he must train you up. When you come to a certain level of consciousness and where you're well trained, you can always hear from sadhus, but their association and their training means that Prabhupada's purports, they become alive to you. And all the Acharya's words, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj's words, all the Acharya's words, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they all become. So they're because when they speak, their words are recorded. So that's my thinking, that lips off can mean a number of things. It doesn't necessarily mean literally, but if I'm trained and my consciousness is pure, then all our Acharya's words become accessible to me as if they were personally present. But nevertheless, personally hearing, if there is a sadhu to be heard, he should be heard. That is the most potent form. But if that potency is not there, then Shastra is there, and it's practically the same. It is the same if you've been trained to understand it to be the same. That's my understanding. What do you think of that? Anyone want to say? Is it true or you accept that?